Our scripture this morning comes from the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 23 through 32. Matthew 21, 23 through 32. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think?" There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. "Which of these two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not and believe him."
Where does authority come from? The chief priests and elders wanted to know where Jesus gets his authority to do these things. Well, what exactly are these things, anyways? Well, let's take a moment and look at the context. Earlier in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus had entered Jerusalem in a festal procession. You know, what we usually call the triumphal entry. And Jesus had overturned some tables in the temple, announcing that the people selling sacrificial animals and doing money changing were robbers holed up in their den. Our passage begins on the next day after these things, and Jesus was teaching in the temple again. Jesus was teaching, and his actions and words directly challenged the way things were traditionally being done. Jesus, in the temple, was challenging the way that the Jewish religious leaders related to God. Jesus was challenging the way the temple leaders related to all humanity. Who were those religious leaders who oversaw the practices of the temple? The chief priests, the elders. They had been overseeing Jewish religious practice for years, making sure sacrifices were without blemish and offered properly, making sure that the Jewish people worshiped God appropriately. And now Jesus showed up in the temple, challenging how the Jewish leaders and people might relate to God and to each other. Jesus was asking people to make a radical change. Jesus was calling people to a new kind of sacrifice, a sacrifice of obedience, not an atonement sacrifice of animals for disobedience. And change? Change is always hard. You know, sometimes I wonder, if Jesus were to walk through that door back there right now, What would he challenge in our faith walks today? Would he challenge some of the thoughts and concepts in our favorite hymns? How about how we conduct our fellowship meals? What about how we use our church building? Or how we associate church as some thing, you know, some building that we go to 1 or 2 days a week? Or how about this? What if Jesus challenged the idea of any nation being the embodiment of Christianity? Even the good old U.S. of A. What if Jesus challenged our blatant disregard for vulnerable people in our midst? What if Jesus challenged our vilification of someone because of their politics? Or the deification of leaders who exemplify our own political beliefs? Or the deification of strength defined as coercion? Or the deification of wealth or influence or power or authority? All to get our own way. Jesus would challenge how we live out our faith in some of these ways and many more that we may not anticipate. Radical change from the culture around us would be essential to an honest faith walk with Jesus. I think most of us would join the chorus of the chief priests and the elders. Whether we want to admit it or not, the people in this passage that many of us most closely resemble are the chief priests and the elders. By what authority does Jesus call us to radical change from our daily lives right here in our city, our state, our country? In the passage for today, that's when Jesus gave the chief priests and elders a question of his own. Well, what about John's baptism? Did it come from God or did it merely come from John himself? In other words, where or what or who was the authority behind John's baptism? I could almost see the chief priests and elders getting in a huddle here. They knew this question was a sticky one. If they say, from God, then they know Jesus will ask them why they didn't believe John. And that was not a question that they wished to answer. They did not want to change. They liked the power that they still had. Yet if they say from human origin, oh, they know that the crowds would be after them. They would be up in arms because the crowds considered John a prophet. And the crowds would be up in arms about their denial of John as a prophet of God. The crowds might challenge their right to be religious leaders. They might also get the chief priests and the elders in trouble with the Roman government because of all the unrest. Jesus was trying to force them to choose between two possibilities. Each one would require a price to be paid, a price that the chief priests and elders did not want to pay. It was a catch-22 type situation. No matter what they chose, the end result would be the same. The situation that they had grown comfortable with would come to an end. So the chief priests and elders, after a brief consultation in that little huddle that I mentioned before, chose not to choose at all. They didn't want to risk the inherent danger posed by the question Jesus had asked. So they said, "We don't know." Well, when they answered in this way, Jesus told them neither would he answer their question for him. But in a way, Jesus did answer their question in a veiled way. He answered it through the question he asked them. The implied answer to the question about John applies to Jesus as well. The authority John spoke with is the same authority that Jesus acts and speaks with. Their authority comes from God. And God expects them to believe and act on the call made through John and through Jesus. God expects us to believe and act on the call that Jesus has made on our lives as well. The brief parable that Jesus tells illustrates the expectations well. Obey what God tells us to do. Be who God calls us to be, without question. It is better to deny God verbally and then actually obey, than to pay lip service to God and then disobey. Tax collectors and prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God in the place of the chief priests and elders. Why? Because they believed John when he spoke to them. They believed Jesus when he called to them. Oftentimes, we can get caught up in constructing a belief in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But how would our faith change if we simply believe what Jesus has said and act on it? You know, believe Jesus rather than just believe in Jesus. You know, take what he says at face value. Think about it. The chief priests and elders religiously believed in God, but they did not believe God when he spoke through John. They did not believe God when he spoke through Jesus. How do we do a very similar thing? How do we believe in Jesus but not actually believe Jesus? When we confine our Christian faith walk to Sunday mornings and possibly Wednesday nights, when we depend on Christian bumper stickers or t-shirts to be identified as followers of Jesus rather than by the scandalous mercy and grace that are infused with the deep and genuine concern and care for all people and creation. Because that's exactly what Jesus calls us to, being channels of God's mercy, grace, and love. But how much will this cost to believe Jesus? How much of our wealth? How much of our time? How much change from the routines that we have grown comfortable with and care for deeply? Okay, let's admit it. We don't want to lose what little we think we have. We don't want to lose the church family that we have loved and cherished in this very building. We want to cling to what little we have and reminisce about the good old days. We really are a little different than the chief priests and the elders that Jesus was speaking to. We resist change tooth and nail. Yet if we continue to do what we've always done, losing what we love is inevitable. We need to choose. We need to risk change, risk failure, risk yielding the control we think we still have. It seems like sometimes we're in a catch-22. No matter what we do, it seems like we're going to fail to accomplish our objectives. Even so, beneath all these risks is exponential potential. There's a potential to discard our agendas and discover what God wants for us in this time and place. And if we do so, there's potential for God to do amazing things with what little we have to offer. So I encourage us, as we close out 2023 and dream about God's future for us, that we immerse ourselves in the four Gospels, that we listen carefully for what Jesus says in them and how Jesus lives out God's will, and that we look at our neighborhood through the eyes of Jesus, that we begin asking questions of all of our neighbors, like, what unmet needs do you see? What potential for positive change is alive and active in this community already? And how is God already working in Hutchinson? Let's remind ourselves, though, that we cannot do everything, but we can do something. Let's offer what we have, all of it. Let's offer it to God. Then a catch-22 type situation will become a certain win-win situation, because God will put the pieces of what we have to offer with the pieces that other people have to offer. And the grand puzzle of God's will for our community will come into focus. And God will act. Hey, God is acting now, just as God has acted in the past. Remember the successes and failures of our past, knowing that God is faithful to see us through today and forevermore. Amen.